theme that I've been doing since Pentecost Sunday, for the most part, where we reflected upon various things that the apostles, after being enlightened and strengthened by the Holy Ghost, went forth to preach, the various doctrines of the church they went forth to teach to others, and to bring them to the gospel and the entire gospel message, bit by bit, all the various things that are found in the creed, also in the moral way of life that comes with it, because we are a church of faith as well as of morals. Today we look at more, I guess you might say, of the moral point. St. Paul, in the first line of the opening line for today's epistle, it's a section from his epistle to the Galatians, he suggests to us an important prayer that the apostles would have gone forth to preach and to have everyone to understand. And it's the power of intercessory prayer. That one thing of praying to God is important, but praying as an intercessor for the needs of others, for their help and their aid in so many different ways, that's an important work of charity. This is one of the ends for which we pray, petitions that are there. It shows to us that we are a people filled with charity, that we will help others in every way that we can, especially by our prayers. You know, it may happen that we can meet with somebody who's going through a difficult time, and we will promise them their prayers, or they may ask us to pray for them. That's all part of this idea of intercessory prayer, that in praying, I am asking for the help from God, for the graces needed for this situation, for this person in need, or whatever it happens. It is an important part of our life, and one of the reasons why it's so important is because it does give to us an extra intention for us as we pray. It helps us to focus maybe our prayers and thoughts on these things, helps us to avoid distractions, and in that way, help make our prayer more fruitful before God. So intercessory prayer is very important. But it's not just the intercessory prayer. It's not just to intercede for others and their need that they have or whatever it might be. St. Paul outlines for us now exactly what he is praying for them, what he is interceding, both by his prayers and his actions, for the graces that he wants to come upon them. You see, as he opens up this line, or rather the line that opens up the epistle for today, St. Paul is asking those who read this, he says, do not faint. Don't get worried. Don't get so distracted when you hear of the sufferings that I go through, because these sufferings are for you. They are here for your soul. They are here for your needs. We have an outline, a bit of an outline, in one of the epistles that occurs during the Septuagesima season, just before Lent, where St. Paul, because it was a necessity to explain to others just how much he has suffered for Christ and for them, that he outlines for us, you know, twice I was shipwrecked, I went through these, I was beaten, I was robbed, all these various things that he went through. It gives us an idea of some of his sufferings externally as well as interiorly. The things that he has suffered for the saints and for the church, he says, for their souls. This man has suffered much, but he has suffered well. He has suffered well because he does so for the love of God. He knows that there is something in enduring suffering for the love of God that brings with it an intercessory power, a power to be able to assist and to help others. You see, when I suffer for the love of God, it means that I'm imitating Jesus Christ and his sufferings, that if he suffered and he suffered for me, then I can best prove my love for him by accepting the sufferings that he sends to me to help me. In fact, St. Paul is reminded that suffering is such a very important part of our way of life as Christians. We cannot run away from it. There's a different gospel being preached today in so many different areas here where people are running from suffering. You cannot. You cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, what it means to be a Christian, and also avoid the idea of suffering. Be able to run away from it and say it is something to be avoided in every way that I can. No, this is the way God treats them whom he loves. This is the way he rises them up to him, but also gives an intercessory power to their prayers when they accept these sufferings well. See, one of the things that St. Paul, when he says he is asking for them, he says, I'm asking the grace I'm helping for, I'm interceding for you for these things. First of all, that you'll be strengthened according to the very riches that the God can give to you, that the Holy Ghost will come down upon you and strengthen you unto the inward man. Of all the things that he could pray for them for, to not be persecuted, to do well, the needs they need in their own family life, or whatever else it might be, his first thought for them is the supernatural. His first thought for them is to make it sure that they can become saints. And so he is going to pray, he is going to sacrifice for the graces that need that when the time comes for them to put into practice what is necessary to be a saint, that grace will be there. Granted, grace is always there, but when you have the intercessory power of the saints to assist someone in their difficult times, it shows that that great love for that person who is willing to suffer well for their own needs, but also from the graces coming, suffered patiently and in love, suffering in that particular way to gain graces for others. And he's saying here, they can be strengthened under the inward man. And this is what it means to be strengthened under the inward man, that you can learn what it means to have Christ dwelling by faith in your hearts. That Christ is truly here in everything you think, say, and do. He says that you can be rooted in the very charity of God. And you can understand what charity is, what this love of God is. The breadth, the length, the height, the depth. The saints understand those, he says. And so you can be able to understand them too. I want you to have the graces here to understand the love of God. And if you can learn to love God as you should and to grow in that love of God, you will start to learn to love what God loves. And one of the most important things that God loves is the souls for whom he died. The souls whom he created, and especially those who have turned their back upon him. This is what God loves. He has loved them to the point of dying for them. But his death on the cross cannot accomplish their salvation. They must do it themselves. And so all the prayers, all the sacrifices, as a true missionary that St. Paul is, he is praying here that they can come to salvation. That you can so love God that you will come out of yourself, cease your selfishness, the selfishness that leads into sin, the selfishness that leads into failing to practice virtue, the selfishness that in many different ways, it's more like a sense of apathy or even a mediocrity. Gosh, that very word of mediocrity, it's almost like you want to spit it out of your mouth as you say it. Because mediocrity should have no business in the Christian way of life. Jesus said as much in the book of the Apocalypse. There he is speaking out to others about the practice of virtue and the importance of practice of virtue. And he says, I wish you were either hot or cold. I wish you were either living for me with all your heart, mind, and soul, or if you're going to be against me, then do it all the way. Don't sit in the middle and say you love me and then disobey me. You love me and sin against me. Don't be lukewarm, because the lukewarm, he says, I vomit from my mouth into the pits of hell. That's what God expects from us. A dedication to him. A love that corresponds in deeds. To know the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. To know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, St. Paul says. To have that love of Christ that overcomes self. That love of Christ that is so strong within me, once I can fully embrace it and it becomes something that's one with me. And Christ does live by faith and rooted in my heart. There is a peace the world cannot give. There is a strength against temptation that we can find nowhere else. There is something about me that overcomes apathy and mediocrity. I start to live for God as I should. That's what comes by having this love of Christ within me. But St. Paul also reminds us, it's not just that he is praying for us and praying and interceding for the graces that are needed that we can know and love God as we should. He's also become an imitator of Christ in his life. The things that he has suffered and suffered well, the virtues that he has practiced, the good works that he has done. In one of his other epistles, he says to us quite boldly, be imitators of me, as I also am of Jesus Christ. He wants us, at this particular point, to find strength, to find courage, no matter what the difficulties and trials of life. Look to his life, as a life, he's saying, is an imitation of the life of Jesus Christ. This is not being a prideful person. He is humble before God. But because he knows in his heart, this is where true humility comes in. He knows in his heart he is doing all that he can to serve God. And for those that are weak, that don't know what to do, imitate me, he says. Imitate me, and you will find the strength that you need. to live for God, to love God in such a way that you will know the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. The imitation there is what is so important. The church has always asked, proposed to us, I should say, the lives of the saints as points of imitation for us. This is why we have the catalog of the saints, if you will, on the calendar. This is why books are printed on the lives of the saints, of the various natures of them, particularly the martyrs. There are the other saints who are not martyred. They may not have shed their blood for Christ on this earth, but the way they lived, they were a martyr for virtue. They were a martyr against themselves. They worked for death to themselves, and that way brought about their sanctity and their living. But there was something there about the martyrs who died, then gave their life for Christ. That is something that is truly inspiring. These are the heroes here, the heroes that are set before us. These are not sports figures. These are not music figures. These are not people who are on self-help tapes and telling us what we're supposed to do and natural reasons of self-help. These are people who live for God and chose God, and even in the most difficult of circumstances, and making us look in our life and saying, we suffer so little compared to them. Why is it we cannot imitate them? They show us in their lives that the practice of virtue, the love of God, a sacrificial life, being strong for God, and not just saying, oh, it's just something here, I just can't help it, I can always go to confession later. That's not the work of a saint that God calls us to be. The saint is one who resists. The saint is one who is strong. The saint is one who lives for God in every circumstance of the day and puts to death self where that weakness comes and makes that a daily effort. The martyrs would not be the martyrs they were if they did not have that spirit upon them. For example, the saint for today, Saint Eustace and companions. The companions are actually his wife and children. Eustace was a member of a military man in the Roman army. He was a pagan. He was out hunting one day. There was a deer that he was going ready to shoot, and the deer looked at him, and in between the antlers there on the forehead was a cross. And as he looked at it, he heard a voice, and the voice told him that he would have much to suffer. And it so struck him, and he understood what the cross meant about Christianity, that he sought more into with Christianity, and he and his wife and children all became baptized and started to profess the faith of Christianity. Eustace was a good man, but he was a better man after he's living for God. Well, in the course of his time as a soldier, the Roman army, the army he was attached to, had a victory, and according to their practice, when they came back, they always sacrificed to the gods in thanksgiving for having been victorious in battle. Eustace would not. He knew that he could not. Gosh, you know, if he was less of a man, he could have said, well, I can just sacrifice here and go to confession later or whatever, just tell God I'm sorry, but I had to do what the others do, you know, this is what they're doing, it just expected of me to do that. Now, he knew in his life, because he was a good soldier, what was expected of him is to honor and love God and to do what God wanted him to do. And so he refused to offer sacrifice. As a result, then, he and his wife and children were going to be put to death. If you ever read anything of the lives of the martyrs of the early church, and you see how they were put to death in the Roman persecutions, in various places, it seems they always invented different ways for the martyrs to suffer. It wasn't just a quick arrow to the heart or something of that nature. It was many times they had to suffer greatly. In this particular case, for Eustace and his wife and his children, there was this big, they called a laver, a washing thing that was used for purifications or whatever the Romans did with it. But it was a hollowed out image of a bull in brass. And what they did was they threw Eustace into it and built a fire under it, heated until he was red hot, and he died, burned alive inside of that. And then he did that afterwards for his wife and then for his children. But you know, they died in joyfulness. They died because they understood Christ had died for them. This is the least they could do, to die for others. And also Eustace believed that in his dying he could influence, by giving good example, the souls of others. For the love of God, for the love of souls, this is why he died and why he now reigns in heaven with his family. St. Eustace is one of the 14 holy helpers. His particular purpose as one of the 14 holy helpers is that any time of a difficult situation that comes up, and until there's no difficult situation, than not to offer sacrifice to gods, but live for God, even if you know the consequences. How many times do we go through difficulties in our lives and trials and difficulties, whatever? We try to take it on our own, or if it's a particular difficult temptation we're going through, and we just say, oh, it's just so bad, I can't resist it, and fall, and just say we're just going to deal with it instead of praying. Well, the 14 holy helpers are there to help us in various circumstances of life, and St. Eustace is there, if we have a particularly difficult circumstance, to pray to him, and he will help. He's also the patron of hunters, too. So it's I'm not going to say he's going to be always a successful hunt if you pray to him, but for some reason, he's out there as a patron for hunters. There's another group of martyrs that's important for us to, you know, reflect upon. It's the North American martyrs. Their feast day is on Saturday this week. The North American martyrs, I'm sure most of us are aware of their lives, and I don't have time today to go through the life of all the eight of them, how they lived, how they died. But one thing we can say that was common to all of them is they had such a desire to bring souls to Christ. They so loved God that they loved what God loved, souls. Nothing could keep them in France when they heard of the great field, the harvest that there was in New Canada, or New France rather, Canada today, and into some parts of New York and Pennsylvania, places like that that we have in our land today. Nothing could keep them from going forth as missionaries to bring these souls to Christ, to win, if even one soul, their whole work would be worth it, they said. And so bit by bit, some were priests, others were lay brothers as Jesuits, they came. They came to love and to serve. And even a great sacrifice, in fact, they knew they were putting their lives in danger. But they did this for God. And they knew that if they died well, the graces that would come from it would influence the souls for whom they were working. There's one, St. John de Babeuf. He was the first of the Jesuit missionaries to come over of the North American martyrs. Not the first to be martyred, but he was the first one to come over. And he had such a great courage about him. We read his life. In fact, he knew he had to have that courage because that's what influenced the Native Americans, the Indians around there. This is what influenced them to respect him and to come to him. There was the Mohawks, the Iroquois, and even the Huron Indians. The Hurons, for the most part, became Christian after a long period of time, but after they saw how much these missionaries loved them because they sacrificed for them. They showed strength of heart and soul, which the Indians respected. And so through that, they started to listen to the story about the gospel and eventually came to baptism. For the most part, the Huron nation, 30,000 of them, men, women, and children, disappeared. Because for the most part, they all became Christian and they were killed by the Iroquois or the Mohawk or other tribes. They understood what it meant to die for Christ and their religion. And so it was an important thing there. But getting back to St. John de Brebeuf, he had been recognized that he was so strong, so patient in his sufferings, and they put him through every possible suffering, the most horrific things that you can read in the story of his life, that when he finally did die, the Indian chief said, take his heart, and we will all share it and eat it, because they believe from the heart came strength. That's how much they respected him because of his strength. Eventually, conversions came as a result of his death. Another famous, most famous figure probably for us in the United States regarding the North American martyrs of St. Isaac Jogues, he came over in a second wave of Jesuits who came to New France, into Canada, to work among the natives there to be able to help them, assist them, bring them to Christ and to the gospel. He suffered almost from the beginning, almost the time his feet landed in what we call Ontario today. From that particular point, he suffered through sickness. He had to travel from there to where the Huron were, a 900-mile journey they made in 30 days, rather, through great suffering, great trial, and he did it all in patience and strength, which brought admiration from the Indians who were with him, the Hurons, who were with him at that particular point, somewhat with the Algonquin tribe too. But he was there. He knew that the strength is what was necessary. St. John de Brebeuf had made sure he taught all the new missionaries that came over, you must be strong. They respect strength. This is what will bring them to Christ. At one particular point, St. Isaac Jogues was captured by one of the tribes of Indians that was really particularly brutal. He was made to run the gauntlet several times. He was beaten and kicked and clubbed. In fact, at one particular point, just to show how much of a hatred for them, that it's several of the people in the Indian nation there started to gnaw on his thumb and his fingers, you know, like this, to eat them off, to leave it down to the nubs of the bone at this knuckle or maybe all the way down. They brought him to suffering, great suffering, difficult times. He healed a bit from those wounds. He was allowed to escape and go in back to France. When he got to France, the people who he knew hardly recognized him because he had suffered so much, just the way that he looked. But then when they realized who it was, they honored him as a saint because of all the sufferings he went through. He knew he was not a saint at that particular point, explained all the things that he and the other Jesuits were going through to pray for them, intercessory prayer, pray for them and the success of their work and the strength they need to live up under trials and difficulties to bring these souls to Christ, to learn to love souls because God loves souls. He was, you know, there, but, you know, the interesting thing, as he healed up and got, you know, better and things like that, the Pope had given him a permission to offer Mass even with stubs of his fingers. You see, one of the impediments in holy orders is, as a priest, if you don't have all, you know, five fingers and two thumbs, if you don't have your hands complete, you cannot offer Mass. You must have your whole of your hands. Even though it may not take all of your hands, you still must have all of your hands so it doesn't cause surprise to the faithful and things of that nature. St. Isaac Jodes was not able to offer Mass for years because of how his hands had been gnawed down to the bone by those who made him suffer. The Pope at that particular time gave him permission to offer Mass even with his hands that way. And in doing so, he said, how can we stop a man from offering the sacrifice who has shed his blood so greatly for the love of Christ? It was more of a greater sacrifice for St. Isaac Jogues not to offer Mass than also the sufferings that he went through. With that permission, he started to ask, send me back. Can you imagine that? Look at the heroism in this man. Send me back. He knew what it was like if he went back there. He had just come from it. His whole body showed forth the sufferings, the trials he was going through forth. Send me back, he says. And they sent him back, and he died a great martyr's death. But he died in patience. He died in courage. He died and shed his blood for Christ and for the souls of those whom even were persecuting him. He died then because in the course of his life, he died to self. To the selfishness that takes us away from God, the selfishness that has us fall into sin, the selfishness that has us give in to all of our sinful points, our bad habits, and do very little to overcome them. The selfishness that says, I can just commit this sin and go to confession and all is well. Now, dying to self daily is what we are here to do. Where are the heroes for today? We talk about these saints, the martyrs, the saints that have lived heroic lives, and then thus are canonized as saints, and we honor them in that way. Where are the heroes today? They must be among us. They have to be. If we are a church that is holy, one holy Catholic apostolic holy, the means for holiness are here, are ours. Why are there not saints? Why are they not heroes today? Where are they? This is a world that threatens to engulf us completely. This is a world that, if we are not careful as we go through it each day, will suck us in and we will become part of its values instead of we doing what we can to be a light to that world and bring it to the gospel of Christ. If we do not love God as we should, we will not love what God loves. We will instead love ourselves, and in loving ourselves too much, we will not be heroes for God. We will be wimps. We will be mediocre. And no mediocrity stands before God. I wish thou wert either hot or cold. Lukewarm, I vomit out because you do not use the graces of God that are given to you. The message of today, we are here to learn the length, the breadth, the height, the depth. There is so much to know of loving Christ by prayer, by deed. This is what you and I need to do. By loving ourselves less, we love him more. By loving the world less, we love him more. We start to understand what the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of the love of God truly is. And when we understand that better, and we love what God loves, then we start to love souls and do all we can to bring them to the gospel, to salvation, and to peace. Important things that St. Paul is saying he is praying here for to the Galatians and for all their needs, these great spiritual needs. These prayers are there for us. Let us pray that we can understand them and fulfill them in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.